I want to read to you Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 this morning to start. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Oh, I wanted to rewrite this. Cliff and Greg, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Sunrise, together with the elders and a bunch of commission members. Sunrise, I love you. A year ago, we stood here, and on this day, this last Sunday of December, in a single service, many of you came forward and you told stories of God's faithfulness. You told stories about how God had showed up some way in the last year in the miraculous way. Some of you told stories of a miraculous baby that was born in the last year. Some of you told stories of jobs that had been lost and jobs that had been gained and people that God had used to help provide along the way. And you wrote on a rock that story of God's faithfulness and set it on a pile over here. And from time to time, that pile of rocks would reappear. But it reminded us of God's faithfulness in the previous year in 2018, how he had always provided. It was an Ebenezer of sort. And I got a little selfish and I took that pile of rocks and they sit in my office. And so if you ever come into my office, they're kind of down on the floor over by in the corner by the window. And every once in a while I go over and read on them your stories of how God faithfully worked in your lives in 2018. And that was a good thing for us to do in 2018, was to look back at the things that God had done and to be able to say, God, you're so good. You're so faithful. Look what you did. And we celebrate that. And we want to repeat those stories over and over. But this year, I think it's really important that we look forward. That we look forward to what the unknown of what God is going to do. Because that's part of him being faithful. And part of us having faith in a faithful God. Not just for what he has done, but what he is yet to do. And that's what we're going to celebrate today, are the things that he has yet to do. I received a text yesterday from Luke Miller up in the frozen tundra of Saskatchewan. And Luke said, would you please tell Sunrise, thank you. The postman on our postal route has said we are the most popular people on his route. He said, you have a lot of friends in California. And as of yesterday, they had received over 75 Christmas cards that had come in from people in California. And I'm sure more are flowing in because, you know, the process of getting things there. May I share just a fun little story to whet your appetite a little bit about Pastor Luke's yet-to-come story. Officially, nothing is happening. Okay? officially, like we have no new news. You know, it's not bad news. It's not good news. There's just no news. I'm sure the application is sitting on someone's desk somewhere, waiting for, you know, stamp to get moved to the next desk to wait there. That's what government does. They're good at that. But at the recommendation of a few people, they said, why don't you contact our congressman? And so a couple weeks ago, I marched down to Ami Barra's office and I pounded on the door and said, let me in the name of Jesus Christ, let me in. No, I did not do that. I gently rang the bell and they let me in. And I spoke to one of the assistants there at the office. I said, okay, here's the situation we're in. And they said, okay, we actually have someone in the office who works on these cases. Why don't you fill out this form in triplicate? And just kidding. They don't do that anymore. There are computers. And filled out some information. They said, you know, what do you want? What are you asking our help in this situation? I said, I'm asking your help in finding out where the application is. And, you know, the status, and then helping kind of move it to the next part of the status. So we did that, and they gave me the actual email address of the person who would be taking on the case in the congressman's office. So I'm like, this is fantastic. So I walked away going, that was a good trip. And, glad I went down there and did that. And then on, I'm gonna say maybe Friday or Saturday before Christmas, I took my boys to get a haircut. You're saying, what does this have to do with Ami Barra and Luke Miller? So I'm sitting there at the haircut place. As I walk into the haircut place and get the boys settled in getting their haircuts, Brad Squires is there. Now, Brad Squires, if any of you know, is the guy that is, I call him the, like, honorary mayor of Orangevale. He's the president of the Orangevale Chamber of Commerce. He's a friend of Sunrise. He's spoken here before. He has, he started the Big Day of Service. He's just this great all-around connected guy. He says, Cliff, how's it going with you guys getting Luke down here? I'm like, well, blah, 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 Ami Barra, blah, blah, blah. He says, oh, I've got a friend that works in Ami Barra's office. And I said, oh, great. He said, well, I went down there last week and blah, 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 and kind of told the rest of the story. He says, oh, that's good. Let me text him. So on the spot, he texts his friend and he says, you know, here's the case. It's Sunrise Community Church. His name's Luke Miller. And, I said, well, what does your friend do? He says, well, he's Ami Barra's right-hand man. He actually travels with him everywhere. And by the time we had left the haircut place, the guy had responded back going, yes, I am personally going to look into it. There you go. So I wasn't going to tell you all that, but sometimes I just can't be quiet. So I can't keep a secret. So you all have to keep that secret now. But I would continue to strongly encourage you not to contact the congressman's office. That we think that God's placing some great people along the process to get it moving. And again, we trust that God's going to bring Pastor Luke here in the timing that is His perfect timing. Right? So about a month ago, I sat down, a little less than a month ago, to write a letter to you all. And in that letter, we always tend to kind of celebrate some really cool things and try to look forward in there and ask you to donate some money at the end of the year. But as I sat down to write the letter, it just hit me. God has strengthened the core of Sunrise. In this last year, God has strengthened the core of Sunrise. I said this a couple weeks ago too. I feel like this church may be stronger than it's been in the last 5 years that I've been here. At the core. Yes, a few of our friends have left. Some people have gone to other churches and are fellowshipping and God's using them there. But you're the core. And God has faithfully used you to continue to do His work through this church. Through that church that's on Greenback next to the veterinary clinic, as a lot of my friends call it, that don't go here. I gotta tell you, there are a few of us that get paid to be here. But if it was just us, the church wouldn't run. It's you. It is you that is the body of Christ. It is you that are the ones that God says, I want to use God's broken people on this earth to do my will. You are his ambassadors. God is speaking and doing his work through you, and I want to celebrate that today. In the letter, I celebrated the things that you did over the last year, of how God used you over the last year. But I want to go back through and read this passage in Philippians again, and just again say it a little more in the context of our church of Sunrise. Here it is, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Philippi is a church that's Philippi is a Roman colony. It's named after King Philip II of Macedon. He was the father of Alexander the Great. There's a lot of retired military personnel in Philippi. And so they're people that may have kind of retired there to do their active or continued service to the Roman military there at Philippi. There are very few Jews. And so if you read this book, you find that they don't really they don't quote the Old Testament. Paul doesn't quote the Old Testament at all in this book, as he does in some other books. But the purpose of this letter is Paul, with the assistance of Timothy, to look to the church at Philippi and to say, thank you for a work well done. Way to go. Keep it up. And watch out for a couple of things along the way. That's really what this letter is about. It's about encouragement. And so in verse 2, grace and peace to you. It's not just a greeting. Grace and peace to you. It is a blessing that Paul and Timothy are praying over this church, that you would receive grace, that you would receive peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. You know, I first came into contact with Sunrise Community Church in 1995 by a group of troublesome high schoolers that you all sent up to Hume Lake to camp. There were a couple of you that were there, and one of you that was their youth pastor. And they were sometimes more trouble than the kids. But I chased Perry around one night going, stop messing with Eddie. Okay, stop. Oh, you know, as a staff person at Sunrise at Hume Lake, I always looked forward to Sunrise coming. It was a special week when Sunrise would be at camp. They'd be there twice a year. They'd be there December 27th through 30th, right before Christmas, 4 days, 3 nights, winter camp. That was a blast. That was when I met them in 1995. And then they'd be there during the third week of summer with a bunch of other North American Baptist churches that would come up during that same week. It was always just a week that I would look forward to, and I would dread, because there were so many people that I loved in that week, I couldn't spend enough time with them. And so I would thank my God every time I'd remember Sunrise. Paul goes on to say, in my prayers for all of you, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. When you pray for someone, are you able to pray with joy for them? Yeah, I can pray for Sunrise with joy. This is a church that I believe is full of people that get it. That's full of people that say, my job is to do more than sit in the seats. My job is to take what's in this word and to translate it not into just knowledge, but into action. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, and this is going to be the key verse for this morning, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And if I can stick to that point this morning, Sunrise, God has begun a good work in us, but he is not finished. He is carrying it on to completion. So please do not become people that are hanging out in the center of the ship enjoying the ride. We need pullers at the oars. Excuse me for a moment. All right. You didn't want that in the speakers. He who began, he began a good work in you. And so many times over the last 5.5 years since I've been here, I've heard people talk about the glory days. Oh, they don't say it that way. But, you know, Sandy, back when you were here, whoa, the youth group was huge and we sent people all over the world and we did this and blah, blah. It was amazing back then. And do you know what? It's amazing now and it will be amazing in the future as God does what he has for Sunrise in the future, not just in the past. And may we not just rest on the laurels of the past, but may we be able to say, he began a good work in us. And oh, this is what I know and I love about my Lord, is that he is faithful. And he is faithful and he is going to carry it on to completion. And I doubt we're going to live to be able to see that completion. Maybe we will, because times are getting crazy. And I wouldn't mind that. But he is going to faithfully carry on his work. And so Sunrise, the charge to us this morning is this. Is, are we poised and in a spot to be those carriers of God's work, of what he's going to do, and how he's going to faithfully carry it on to completion? Paul goes on to say this, it's right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. All of you sharing God's grace with me. Think about that for a second. Paul is speaking to a church, and he's actually on house arrest when he's writing this letter. He's in Rome, he's in his home, he's on house arrest. People can come to him, but he can't leave. He says, all of you sharing God's grace. He is speaking from a position of incarceration, and he's celebrating the God's grace that he is receiving. He said, it's not just me, it's all of you. And God's grace is not just on a few of us on staff, not just a few elders, not just some people that serve on some commissions, not just the amazing 200 of you that put on Bethlehem Village. All of you are recipients of God's grace. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Isn't that an interesting little phrase there? First, he's talking about love, something that you do. My kids love this song, Love is Action. I can't remember what the name of the song is. It's Toby Mac. It's awesome. But this whole love is a verb concept, that your love may abound more and more, but not just in how you're expressing it to each other and to others, but in knowledge of what we know, in depth of insight, the insight we have into the scriptures, into the truth, so that, verse 10, you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so God is saying to us, I believe he's saying this to us today, not just through Paul to the church in Philippi, continue to build up your knowledge, continue to build up your insight. You are being sanctified. You are being set aside. He's saying, so that you may be able to discern, so you gain discernment. I pray for that all the time for myself. What is best? And that you may be pure and blameless. And I love it because so many times we look at perfection as the standard. And we go, oh, blameless, that's impossible. Purity, that's impossible. And Paul is saying, the closer you get to God, The more you understand the person of Jesus Christ, the more knowledge and depth of insight that you have, the more attainable it is through the power of the Holy Spirit to be pure, to be blameless. Sunrise, it is that purity and that blamelessness that people will see. It is our actions that people will see. And I'm not saying that, you know, we put on an act and we look pure and we look blameless, because that's false. But when people see the Holy Spirit moving and transforming our lives, because not only is our God a God who forgives every sin that we have had and ever done and ever will do, but He is a God who changes us from the inside out. He is a God who transforms us. He is the one that changes us, not our actions. So it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. And so, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning as we close. Looking forward, what are you expecting God to do? How are you expecting God to transform you in the coming year? What does 2020 have for you? And I'm not asking you this morning to set out a New Year's resolution, because that's something you do in your power. I'm asking you to set out a God-sized resolution. Something that only God can do. What are you expecting God to do? What is the good work that God will carry on to completion in this coming year and beyond? Is it possible? I think it is. Do you believe that God is enough? Do you believe that He can complete the work that He started in this church 45 years ago, 46 years ago? Do you believe He can carry that on to completion? Do you believe that He could change the hard heart of that parent of yours that won't change? Because you keep telling them how to change and they just won't. Do you think that God can change their hard heart? Do you think God can change that child of yours who's walked away so far away from anything that you ever taught them to believe? Do you believe that God can do that transformation? Do you believe that He can transform that friend of yours who is just stuck in the pit of despair? Who might be stuck in the sin that they just can't pull themselves out of? Do you believe that God can transform that person? Do you believe that He can help you escape that sin that you don't want anyone to know about that you are stuck in? Do you believe that the God that we serve can transform you? Do you believe that He will restore your joy again after losing one of the closest people in your life this year? Do you believe that He will redeem that? Do you believe that He will bring our new pastor in His perfect timing? Do you believe what Paul says in Ephesians 3:20? Oh man, I love this verse. Ephesians 3:20 says this. You know what's great? I had prepared this sermon, and then last night I'm watching the Clemson and Ohio State game. Anyone watch that game last night? Maybe one of the funnest football games I've ever watched. And at the end, when Clemson finally wins, I think 29th straight win, they defeat Ohio State, they win the Fiesta Bowl, and Trevor Lawrence, quarterback for Clemson, his hair is down to about here, you know. They're asking all this, and he just says, well, Ephesians 3:20. And I'm like, yes, I get to quote a football game in my sermon tomorrow. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, or according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, man. Let's break that down. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Think about that word, immeasurably more. You can't measure that. It's more than you can imagine. Immeasurably more than it's more than we could ask of him. But I ask God a lot. I ask him for a lot of help. Oh, he can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask, than I could ever imagine. Why? Because it is the power that is at work within us, the power that is the Holy Spirit of God, that is working in and through us, transforming us. To him be the glory in the church, to him be the glory in this church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Today, December 29th, 2019, I cannot believe that in 3 days it will be 2020. I mean, it was just yesterday that we were like panicked that the computers were going to shut down the world, right? And here we are, 20 years later, we're still operating. Planes didn't fall out of the sky that night. Power grids didn't go out. I remember exactly, how many of you remember where you were that night? I remember where I was, December 31st, 1999. Hold up and, no. But here we are, 20 years later. It's 2020. And I want to start looking forward. Not to not look back, but to say what was back behind us was great, but what's ahead of us, God's going to do immeasurably more. And so in 2020, I believe God will ... fill in the blank. I want to take a minute or two of awkward silence. I want you to pray right there where you are, and ask God, through the power of his Spirit that is in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that is living in you, say, God, what do I need to believe that only you can do? So let's just take a moment. We don't even have pretty music in the background. Let's just take a moment and quietly pray and say, God, will you reveal? God, I believe that coming up in the future, you will. What is it? If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Our faithful God will. We don't have to trust that we will do these things. It's that he will. In the lobby today, you're going to see a big whiteboard. There are two sides to it, 2 4-by-8 panels. And there are some markers there, maybe on the table beside it. And it just says, I believe God will. Would you write down on that board what you believe God will do this year? Or in the future. It's a God-sized thing. It's not a man-sized thing. It's a God-sized thing. Believe me, I got a couple inside that God just revealed to me in our time up here. But let's, as a church, move forward in the year 2020 in faith that it is God that began a good work in us, and he is going to be faithful to carry it on to completion. You with me on that? Yeah. All right. All right. Let's pray. Lord, oh, I thank you for someone that would bring water to me up on the platform here. That's cool. God, thank you that you're faithful. Oh, you are so faithful. You are so good, and you have shown yourself to be faithful over and over and over. And I don't know why I ever doubt. And I'll never forget sitting over there in the office a couple of years ago when someone just said, he always shows up. He always provides. And God, you have been so faithful, and you will continue to carry on this good work to completion. Oh Lord, we look forward to that day of completion. We look forward to that day of complete reconciliation, that day of seeing you face to face and experiencing true redemption. And yet, Lord, I love that we get to see that, some of that, while we're still on this earth. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us the faith to trust you to do the impossible so that you would receive the glory, not us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, amen.